FM News Talk 97.1 podcast.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, good afternoon, America. No, this is not Annie Fry identifying as a white male fill-in sub. This is Tim Jones. You never know these days, do you, Tony Colombo?
No, great to see you. Great to see you.
Katie,
happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day. Good to see you as well, Katie. Yeah, good to see you guys. You guys are working today.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
We're here.
I never knew this. I never knew this was like a holiday you got off for. And I still don't.
I think I'm in the same boat.
I just know that I missed my opportunity to wear sweatpants to work, but yes. I still did park in Jeff Allen's parking spot. So I.
So where you roll,
so
man.
Far.
Good spot. Yes.
Just big footed Jeff Allen.
Yes.
Take that.
I love these days because you can dress down, like Tony said, and the office is very quiet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I love it.
And we're probably speaking to just as many, if not more people than usual, because folks are out running around today getting things done.
That's right.
My poor wife who's trying to figure out what to do with the kids today,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're off.
Mm-hmm.
And she's she's like, just because you're all off doesn't mean I'm off.
Right, exactly.
Because Suzanne is, she's teaching classes this semester at Maryville, and she's taking her second master's course.
Ooh.
And so this is not a day, there's no day off for mom, you know, so there never is, right?
Mm-mm.
Especially when you're doing extra things. So they may be out listening to us right now. They're running around. I think she was going to. Get some energy run off. They're going to go to the Y or something like
that.
You know, kind of get the sugar rush from the morning out.
That's awesome.
Move.
And then maybe, you know, lock them in the rooms this afternoon. I don't know. So
leave me alone.
No one hotline us. I'm joking.
I'm totally fine with that.
So I heard, I was listening to Kilmeade on the way in, and he was having a fascinating discussion with Chris Steirewalt, who I like Chris Steirewalt.
I do too.
I don't always agree with him, which is what I like about him, because I'll be in my car arguing with him, like he's sitting next to me, you know, and he, you know, like he can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And but today, he was talking about how, you know, he goes, I'm a purist, and I don't like this whole we've jumbled everything together, all 45 U.S. presidents, and said it's President's Day, because you're kind of diminishing the greatness of the presidents we had, and you're also equally honoring maybe some of the scoundrels that have been in that office. And there's been a few scoundrels as well. He's like, this should be, and I think it used to be called, didn't this used to be Washington's birthday?
I thought there used to be two different, I don't know about holidays, but at least recognitions that one was President's Day and one was Washington and Lincoln's.
Right.
Together, their birthdays
something
together,
like that.
Because they're both birthdays are in February.
Something like that.
So, yeah, it used to be like Washington and Lincoln's birthday were recognized on this day, and then President's Day were, at least that's how I remember it.
So do you, I kind of agree with that. I don't like this whole, this is President's Day, and jumble all 45 of these dudes together and say we honor all of them.
Yeah, but
I don't like that either. What the heck are we honoring?
But I also don't want to look back at like the 35 really good ones and have a different day for each one of those.
I don't want to do that either.
You know what I mean?
So Steirewalt's argument was we should honor the two, in his mind, the two greatest presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do that, to pick two, but Washington, obviously. And the more you look at Washington, and I think the further we get away from his life on this earth, we tend to forget. We know he was the first president. We know he was great, but why was he great? When you really look into that, he was really great. And Steirewalt's second one was Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And his argument on that is, and as conservatives, and Tony, you as a libertarian, we can argue about Lincoln's use of executive power. How funny.
Yeah.
We're arguing about that now.
Right.
Suspension of habeas corpus.
Right.
Did he have to do all the things he had to do? But long story short, he probably did save the Union.
And put the country together.
But for Lincoln, we probably would have had maybe two or three different countries.
Yeah.
There may have been like a North and a South, and then like a West.
Yep.
I could see there have been three different countries,
yep.
You know? If I had to pick, you know, I love Lincoln, and I especially love the latest big movie that was done on him featuring Daniel Day-Lewis,
yeah.
Which was unbelievable and really got into the guttural visceralness of that. The how hard it was to live in the 1860s, much less during wartime.
Right. My favorite Abraham Lincoln movie is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I've seen that one too. That one is that's kick butt. Yeah,
that's a good
funny.
One.
It's funny. Anyway,
so if I was going to pick
your
two,
favorite, yeah,
I'd have Washington and Jefferson.
Ah, okay, sure.
Because I believe that Jefferson was the true first qualm, whatever, limited government, Federalist, Republican president.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Lincoln was in name. He started the Republican Party. But as far as idealism, and I thought Jefferson, and but for Jefferson, we may never have become a superpower because of the, I'm reading Kilmeade's book right
yes.
now, Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates,
uh-huh.
which, but for Jefferson establishing a U.S. Navy and saying we're not going to keep paying all these ransoms to these, the jihadis of the time,
yep.
which is what they were,
yep.
I don't know that we ever would have become the superpower that we are. We just would have been paying ransoms to everybody
right.
and
right.
being a second-class country.
Yep.
So mine would have been Jefferson. Who's, when you were like, who's your favorite president? Who's your two favorite presidents?
I'd probably take the easy way out like Steyerwald did and say Washington and Lincoln.
Okay.
It's just hard to
yeah.
make a case against those two.
You're not going for like Rutherford B. Hayes?
Well,
or, I, as great
I
as
I mean,
he was.
I'm a James Garfield guy, but, you know, we'll take that fight up some other day. No, but you know what? To the point of this conversation, there are some unknown presidents.
Yeah. Yeah. And, if you go through the list.
And it shouldn't uh-huh. be that way. There should be more in just regular education as you're growing up and you're learning about, you should learn more about some of these different presidents. Like that nobody ever, I don't remember one textbook line about James Polk. And you know, in any class I ever took anywhere, and Harrison, you know, these presidents that you don't even barely anybody can even name. You know, we should do a better job at educating our history, you know, on our history than we do.
What's funny is we all know the oldest ones, right?
Yeah,
we all know the ones from 230 some odd years ago.
Everybody can do the first three or
Washington,
four.
Adams, yeah. Jefferson,
and then the middle
Madison.
Gets real.
It does.
Wishy.
It gets. It's like we went into the dark ages
yeah.
in the country because, yeah, William Henry Harrison.
Yeah,
John Tyler.
Is Harrison the one that died after like 60 days? I think so.
Yeah.
When he was sick.
So he really didn't get a chance.
Right.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
That's still an American
story. But who was
amazing
that was
American
the
story.
Yeah,
who was he? Where'd he come from?
Yeah.
Polk. I know Polk had something to do with our westward expansion.
Yeah.
So he did something like that. And then you get into guys like Millard Fillmore.
Yeah, there you go.
What?
Good one.
There's
great
a good one, right?
Great one. Like I said, Garfield.
Know.
Like nobody knows Fillmore's a great one.
Uh-huh. And it's funny how, here's another one. Chester Arthur.
Yeah.
If you would have said the name Chester Arthur to me, I would have been, who's that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Some of them are famous because they were infamous, right?
Sure.
But so many of them we don't know as much about. Now, a lot of people, and I think, again, go back to Kilmeade, I think he's made this comparison, have compared Andrew Jackson
mm-hmm.
to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Andrew Jackson was very much a renegade. He bucked.
An outsider.
An outsider.
He was an outsider. He was way an outsider.
Country boy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of did things that big, bold, brash, tall, in your face.
Really did not like Washington.
I hear the media.
Not Washington, the president. Washington,
right.
The city of did not like
right.
D.C. politics, Washington politics.
I heard the media of that time, they hated each other. Mutual hatred, you know, for each other. And if anybody thinks that these are, we always say, oh, everything's gotten so bad. And the media and the politicians back in the 1800s, they were brutal to each other.
Oh.
And the politicians settled things by duels.
Yeah.
We literally would shoot at each other.
Yeah.
Now we just, you know, shoot each other with words.
If you look at some of the articles that were written during that presidential, the two presidential elections with Andrew Jackson and John Adams, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were Adams newspapers writing articles about they were bringing the wives into it.
Yes.
And talking about adultery and
their mistresses.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
I mean, like it.
They were bringing
very
everybody
similar
down
to the way it is now. It's
how
not
funny.
Like back then it was. Oh, it was such a different time and. The news media didn't operate that way, and there was no scandalous reporting. Yes, there was, big time.
There were just different rules. There were different rules. Like, for instance, I don't know that JFK and definitely Bill Clinton would have survived in the White House with the adulation they received.
I think it tightened up in the middle. That's why. I think back in the old days, there was some of that scandalous reporting, and then they got to a point where it was like, you know, having deference for the office, and you didn't report on, you know, you tried to pump up your president and make him look great instead of trying to tear him down, and then we got back to...
And do you think after Trump, we'll get back to that? Is it just all a cyclical thing?
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a long time, I think, to circle back. Let me ask you about this.
I don't think it ever circles back.
Speaking of executive overreach and all that and the things we complained about with Obama, what do you think about the use of the executive order to declare a national emergency? I mean, is this the same as all the criticism we launched against Obama? Is this different? Are you okay with it? Is there nuances here?
I wish he would have found a different way.
Me too.
To get the money.
I wish congressional Republicans would have never put us in this position.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish that he would have. Look, I know that people will say, well, he didn't do it when he had the House because he was getting pushback from Republicans like Paul Ryan or others. Okay. That may be the case, but he never dug his feet in when he had the Republican House like he did recently with the Democratic House. I would have rather him dug in and drew his line in the sand like he did this time when he still had the House, because I think it would have still been an easier fight back then than it is is now.
Oh, definitely. And that's what people don't realize is I almost feel like he had no option at this point, because people don't understand. Nancy Pelosi and a whole new strain of avowed Democratic socialists are running a third of half of one third of the government.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most critical points. It's one of the most critical halves, because they control the purse, period, the end. And so the next 2 years are going to be pretty rough. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's very likely that they don't hold the House. The Democrats lose the House again, because if you look at the math, Republicans only have to win 18 seats on net. And 35 seats are in Trump 2016 won districts. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be a heavy lift, especially if all the Democrats are going to do the next 2 years is impeach, obstruct, resist. Mm-hmm. And if they have no, I mean, we're entering late February yet, and all Nancy Pelosi has done is fight with the president. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing coming out of the House, you know?
Yep.
So
are you 100% convinced that Trump is running again?
That's a great question that nobody's asked me.
One of the reasons I bring it up is because on one of the Sunday shows, I think it was Fox News Sunday, they were talking about all the issues and they were talking about 2020, and the guest, they didn't even make a thing about it, but the guest said, well, assuming the president runs again, then went on to answer the question. And I thought, is that still a question?
Well, I think that's the media pushing that narrative. Here's what I'll say. If the Mueller investigation report comes out, if it comes out, right? Because there's a chance that the Mueller investigation report may not be released, right? Mm-hmm. There's always that option. Mm-hmm. But if it's released and it's about as dull as I expect it to be after everything we've heard from everybody else, I think he runs again.
Yeah.
I think if there's some major bombshell in there that really would hurt him and his family, he doesn't run again. But I think if the Mueller investigation is as weak as I expect it to be, the report, because look, we've got Mark Warner, who is the ranking member on the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee, is no Trump fan. In fact, I'd say he rather despises the president. He had to admit last week that there's no direct evidence of any Russian criminal conspiracy with the Donald Trump campaign. If they haven't seen it, then it's not there. Yeah. And by the way, despite what the liberals are saying, that Senate Intelligence Committee has access to every single piece of paper and conversation that Mueller does. Because they're the Senate Intelligence Committee, you know? They're the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee, one of the most powerful bodies on the planet, you know? So, big show today as we wrap up, heading into break here. We've got Amy Kramer joining us after this first break. She's the co-founder and president of Women for Trump. We'll talk to her about all these things, the border deal, the national emergency, the wall. We've got Congressman Blaine Lueckmeyer. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to say, Blaine, wouldn't this have all been better if we had gotten all this stuff wrapped up last year with this border wall? Did we have to be here? And I bet Blaine's going to have a good answer for that. And we'll talk to him about, he's got some, I ran into him last week on the way up to D.C. and, oh, does he have some stories about this new strain of Democrats who have taken over the House and what they're trying to do on the Financial Services Committee on which he sits. Carl Bearden, president and founder of United for Missouri, got some great new polling hot off the presses. Tony, it's on Clean Missouri.
Oh,
and
nice.
Fixing part of that problem.
Oh, good.
You may be surprised at what Missourians think and about what they knew and did not know, which has been my argument, about what they were voting on Amendment 1. And your phone calls. Lynn, I'm sorry I didn't get to you. If you want to call back, please do. And Tom, I'll get to you after the break. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. It's Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. It's the Annie Fry Show here at FM News Talk 97.1.
Take with a grain of salt maybe what Mr. McCabe is telling us. But he went on national television and made an accusation that floors me. You know, I can imagine if the shoe were on the other foot, we're talking about getting rid of President Clinton, it'd be front page news all over the world. Well, we're going to find out what happened here, and the only way I know to find out is to call the people in under oath and find out, you know, through questioning, who's telling the truth, because the underlying accusation is beyond stunning.
This is Armageddon.
That's right, Speaker Pelosi. It sure is. Senator Lindsey Graham reminding the Democrats that the Republicans are still running the Senate and they can have hearings too. And I think they need to talk to Benedict McCabe, as I've been calling him. The guy goes on national television and basically admits to fomenting sedition against a sitting president. And I'm telling you, the real story that people like Sarah Carter and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham have been talking about for almost 2 years now, I think is going to finally be told, because what happened was this Steele dossier, which has been largely debunked, was shopped all around D.C. back in the primary. Some never-Trumper Republicans took a look at it, took a pass on it. That is true. The Clinton campaign was more than happy to jump into that with both feet and in their entire bodies and swim in the muck and spread that around to Barack Obama's DOJ and FBI. They weaponized the highest forms of government against a presidential candidate. And then when it didn't work and the guy got elected, which was the biggest surprise gotcha moment of all, everything since then, folks, has been the cover-up. The Russian collusion hoax is just that. It was never Trump. If it's anybody who hung out with Russian spies and agents, there's that famous meme with President Trump standing with the Clintons. That's President Trump with Russian agents.
Yeah,
you know, it was the
exactly.
Clintons. Yeah.
There's more evidence linking Hillary and her campaign to Russian involvement than there ever has been with Trump. All you have to do is look at the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that was given to the Clinton Foundation.
The uranium
connected to
the Uranium
Russian
One
government.
Deal. It's all there. You just got to look at it.
Yeah.
Let me deal with Lynn. Let me get Lynn on here because she was. Let me deal with her. I didn't mean deal with her.
Deal with Lynn. Lynn, you're about to be dealt with.
Lynn, I'm going to deal with you. Hey, Lynn, I appreciate you calling back. I know you dropped off. Go right ahead.
Well, I thought you were just going right into it, Cass. But anyway, thanks for mentioning my name, because that's why I called back, because that was very kind of you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to mention that somebody was comparing Trump to Andrew Jackson.
That was me. You can blame it on me. Yeah.
Well, it's not a blame, but even though I think he did great things for the country, you know, westward expansion, all that kind of stuff, wasn't he the one that did the Trail of Tears and all of the Indian stuff that wasn't too necessarily great?
And let's remember, Lynn, it was, and that's why, yes, I mean, we can definitely criticize probably every single one of our presidents for something,
correct.
But I always tell people, though, you have to place them in their time. Like, for instance, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves.
So did George Washington.
But they both wanted to get rid of slavery, but it was Benjamin Franklin that said, gentlemen, the country is not ready for this yet. And so he dialed them back. So, yeah, Lynn, I mean, just because Andrew Jackson did some things that we would definitely castigate him for now, I say, look, you still got to look at what America was, how they viewed that back then.
I just wanted to mention that only because it depends on who is comparing him, Donald Trump, to Andrew Jackson. Who
that's true. I'm doing it in a positive way. Yes,
okay,
yes.
That sounds like a good idea. And I just wanted to say, too, that I hope they prosecute Andy McCabe to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, if we were a fair and just society, Lynn, we would. But unfortunately, the deep state runs D.C. So, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Thanks, Lynn.
Anyway,
thanks. Thanks for calling in. Thank you.
I think it was Jason Chaffetz who said yesterday or maybe early today after that McCabe interview that Andrew McCabe ought to be in prison, not on a book tour.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the reason he's doing his book tour now, Tony, is because he had to get this out before the Mueller report comes out, because I think it's going to be very devastating for the Never Trumpers.
Prove him wrong.
So and the Democrats.
Sell the book now before
Before he doesn't sell a copy. So yeah. Joining us now is none other than Amy Kramer. She's at Amy Kramer, K-R-E-M-E-R, at Amy Kramer, co-founder and chair of Women for Trump. Amy, thanks so much for joining us on the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, thanks guys for having me.
Absolutely. Annie's off today. It's President's Day, so she's got to chase her three kids around the house. So,
Somebody's got to do it right.
So it's the Tim, Tony, and Katie show today. So we're getting through it. So Amy, let's start with what is on a lot of people's minds, and that's that 60 Minutes interview. I mean, Amy, shouldn't everybody now figure out exactly what happened here and that the Russian collusion story was just that? It was the biggest hoax perpetrated on Americans following a duly elected president, and everything we've seen in the last 2 years has been the cover-up for the crimes they committed?
Well, I think reasonable, rational people get it, and they understand it, but when you look at the left and the media, who has become a mouthpiece, the mainstream media has become a mouthpiece or an arm of the Democratic Party, they are just going to brush it under the rug. They don't want to acknowledge it. I mean, we all know where the real Russian collusion lies, but they will never admit it. I don't know if they're blinded by their hatred of Donald Trump or their anger that Hillary Clinton didn't win, but I don't think you'll ever get them to admit it. But reasonable, rational people, they do see what's happening, and I think it is absolutely insane that some of these people are still walking free on our streets. Mm. Why have they not been locked up and charged?
Hey, Amy, this is Tony Colombo. I see that you are the president for and co-founder of Women for Trump, but it's my understanding from the media that there are no women that support the president. So are you pretty much alone in this? I guess this club is just kind of you and maybe Annie Fry, like you and a buddy. I can't imagine there's anybody, because I've been told over and over again that there are no women for Trump. So how is this possible?
So listen, a couple weeks ago I was in Arizona and an Uber driver was like, "You're what?" And I said, "I'm the co-founder of Women for Trump." And he literally like slammed on his brakes, you know, the screeching horn. It's like, whoa, I thought that didn't exist. No, I mean, there are millions of people, of women around this country, that absolutely support this president. And I'll tell you the number one thing that is helping, that is bringing more women to support Donald Trump than anything, is number one, the economy, but also, you know, his commitment to make our nation safe again, to secure our borders. You can't convince me that there are women out there that aren't concerned about drugs touching the lives of their children, their loved ones, and human trafficking that's going on across our southern border. I mean, these are issues that women care about, and that is why women helped elect Donald Trump in 2016, and I believe that women will elect Donald Trump again in 2020. But there's so much Trump derangement syndrome out there. Nobody wants to admit that they support this president and what he's doing because they're afraid of their car being rammed by another car, their hat being ripped off their head, or their kid, you know, being bullied at school. And so they just keep quiet and carry on. But I'm telling you, everywhere I go, if I have a Women for Trump pin on, I get the thumbs up all the time. And as we are going across the country, more and more women are saying, "We just want to come out. We're doing this event in Raleigh, North Carolina in 2 weeks. And it's a luncheon, heels on, gloves off. And it's about nice. Supporting Donald Trump." And we're having all these men buy tickets. And my colleague said to me, "Why are we having men buy tickets to a luncheon for ladies that support Trump?" And it's because they just want to be with other Trump supporters. They don't care if it's a women's luncheon or not. They just want to be with other Trump supporters.
You know, Amy, if you believe the media, which no one should, and just, you know, take them hook, line, and sinker. But, you know, every time I see MSNBC or CNN do one of these focus groups where they'll bring in a bunch of they'll bring in a group of women who supported Trump. I think they always think they're going to get something that they end up not getting. They think, okay, at this point, all right, these women will finally have enough, and we're finally going to get all these women who supported Trump to bash him. And I've seen these focus groups time and time again. And you're right, they continue to support the president. And so, Amy, what I have to ask you is, I think on the other hand, don't you think that do you think the Democrats, the new House Democrats, have overplayed their hand in thinking that all the women, you know, once again, lumping all the women in the country together, that they would approve of Kamala Harris's plan to get rid of all of our private health insurance, or Ocasio-Cortez's plan to eliminate air travel in 12 years? I mean, I think women just as easily identify these issues as insane as men do, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, are you kidding me? Then, you know what? God love her. AOC, she is putting the full display. She is showing what Democrats are about. We've known it for a long time, but they've tried to cover it up, and it is becoming, you know, part of it's their poster now. I mean, the Amazon thing, for example. I mean, you tell me one person. Look at de Blasio and Cuomo even going against her. But women, men, I mean, we're a capitalist society. We all like taking care of our families, making money. Who doesn't like making money? And the Democrats are on full display now what they're really about. And I think that the Democrats in the House have overplayed their hand. I think it's going to backfire on them. And I think Trump, I think it's going to be a landslide in 2020. I really do.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think the further they go to the left and the more Donald Trump continues to keep campaign promises like people are seeing he's trying to do, and the more the media flips out about it, I think we're definitely headed towards that. Amy, I want to ask you about, you brought up the media. Oh, one of my favorite subjects. And the double standard in the media. It's here at FM News Talk 97.1, we call it the Tony Colombo flip test, you know? And let me ask you this. The double standard of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings and the allegations brought against him versus the allegations brought against the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia, Mr. Fairfax. Now, I'm not saying Mr. Fairfax is guilty. He deserves his day in court. But Amy, hasn't there been a double standard in the media of taking the word and the allegations of the two women accusers that have come forward against Lieutenant Governor Fairfax versus things that were being alleged against Justice Kavanaugh from like 30 years ago?
Oh, there's absolutely a double standard, 100%. But we've seen this double standard for a long time. People want to deny it, but it's truly there. And look at the Covington boys, you know, that were attacked in Washington a couple of weeks. Now this Jesse Smollett incident in Chicago. The media has proven that they are out to get Donald Trump and to destroy his presidency at all costs. They don't care what is harmed in them doing that. They are on a mission. Just look at this past weekend. I don't know if you guys saw the tweets with some CNN reporters about Kamala Harris shopping in South Carolina. You know, I mean, the double standard is unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. But I think people are waking up to it, don't you?
Yes, I mean they were fawning over her in the clothing boutiques. It was unbelievable. It was like an extra spot or something, or TMZ or something. It was unbelievable. It was just shocking. And yeah, it's amazing. Amy, one of the issues of the week that we're going to continue to discuss, I'm sure, all this week, was the president signing the budget deal with Congress last week, but then immediately declaring the national emergency. And so for all of the constitutional conservatives out there in our audience who get a little squeamish about executive overreach and a president taking action like that, what's your thoughts on that? What's the justification for it? Do you think he had to do that?
I do think he had to do that. Listen, it is a crisis of what's going on our border, And I was in Washington with our angel mom, with angel moms, 29 angel families last week. When the president had the angel moms in the Rose Garden, I was in the Oval Office with those angel moms and the president.
That was very dramatic, by the way. Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Powerful.
They went out to the Rose Garden with him. Let me tell you, the angel families we had, one of them lost their son, Reuben, 1990, 28 years ago. He was executed in the head at 13 years old in his driveway in Salinas, California. Mm. The most recent one was the Corcorans in Nashville, Tennessee, who lost their son Pierce December 29th. That hasn't even been 2 months yet. Susan Stevens, you saw her in the Rose Garden. She held up the picture of her daughter, Toria, who she found on the bathroom floor January 22nd, 1 year ago. She was 22 years old, surrounded by needles, heroin, and she died of an opioid overdose. And she was the All-American girl, cheerleader, excelled in school, went to leadership classes in Washington, D.C., and died of an opioid overdose, a heroin overdose. There is a crisis on our southern border. Our president had to do that. He ran on it. He campaigned on it. And I'm going to tell you, as a mom who lives in suburban Atlanta, I did not know until this past year that human trafficking was as bad as it is in our city here. I also live in an area called the Black Triangle, where the opioids are very bad in my area. I had no idea, and I'm not a border state, but I will tell you what, I am a border state in the sense that every state in this nation is a border state, and somebody's got to do something about it. This has been going on for far too long, and with the Democrats will not do what needs to be done. They are sacrificing our national security for their own political purposes, and our national security is priceless, and the president had no other way to do what needs to be done, and that is secure the border, and that's why he did what he did, and I support him 100%.
Mm, and this is why there are women and moms for Trump all across this nation, and I think your voices are going to be heard again in 2016. Amy Kramer, co-founder and chair of Women for Trump, thanks so much for joining us again today. We really appreciate all the time you gave us, and we'll definitely have you back as we move through 2019.
Thank you. Have a great day, y'all.
Thank you, Amy. You too. You can find her at Amy Kramer on Twitter. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. We've got lots more straight ahead, including Congressman Blaine Luchtmeyer at 125 and Carl Bearden of United for Missouri at 225. Lots more straight ahead here at FM News Talk 97.1.
This is a serious situation. This is a crisis. Look at the drug problem, the human trafficking problem, the gang violence problem. That's why we need the border security wall, and that's what the president is committed to making sure happens.
Congressman Jim Jordan this weekend on one of the talker shows, and I think he's absolutely right, and I like the fact that Congressman Jordan was defending him on that. Joining us now, our Congresswoman, another woman for Trump, Congresswoman Ann Wagner joins us on the Annie Fry Show. Ann, look who's here today. Me.
Hey, Tim, I know. How awesome. You're not going to believe this. I'm driving down Highway 40. I hope I don't lose you here. I'm driving myself, which is always a little scary.
Where's all those staffers, Ann?
You know, it's just all highly overrated. I'd rather take care of myself. So, I'm heading to a meeting. I got a 1 o'clock. We're back in the district, working it hard this week, and I'm listening to your show. And I had a call in, man. This is we do have a national emergency at our border, and you know, while it's unfortunate that it has to be done this way, I must say I am proud of our president for standing up and doing the right thing and doing it. I mean, the reason why he said that he had to do it, he didn't have to do it this way, but he needed it done fast. It's because guess what? Emergencies are things that have to be addressed quickly. That's why.
Are the Democrats secure in the knowledge that the media will always protect them that they forget that they said like a couple years ago things like we need more border security, we need more fencing. They voted for all these things. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, all these presidential candidates, they've all voted for and supported funding to secure our southern border. Many of them said it was a crisis in the past.
Yep.
I mean, why now, Ann? Is it like they've gone completely mute? It's like the southern border doesn't exist if you're a Democrat.
Because they want this for nothing more than a political football. They do not want to give this president a win in any way, shape, or form. A short while ago, we had Democrats that voted along with me for the $25 billion advanced appropriations for wall funding and border security. So we actually, and I want to make clear, everyone's talking about
$1.375 billion in this last funding measure for the wall. It's really $2.5 billion that's going for all for the border security that deals with technology and surveillance and other really important issues that are happening at the wall. And then now this emergency declaration, the president is going to the Department of Defense. There's about $2.5 billion specifically dealing with narcotics and drug trafficking that he'll be tapping. He's looking at another $3.6 billion in that fund that will deal with military construction. I'm doing this while I'm driving, and I believe there's $600 million also in Treasury that is also dealing with drugs and counter narcotics. So the Secretary SecDef is looking at it right now, and I believe you'll see a good portion of that money appropriated for what is
excellent.
A humanitarian and national emergency down at our border.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman Ragner, this is Tony Colombo. Now that you are in a Congress, in a House that is run by the Democrats and Speaker Pelosi, and you see every day what they are doing and proposing, are they, these Democrats that now run the House, are they making any proposals? Do they have any ideas besides obstruct and deny the president? Or is that their whole agenda for the next 2 years?
That's their entire agenda, I believe. Sadly, I mean, I thought the president did a fantastic job at the State of the Union and laying out areas where we could work together, especially when it came to human trafficking, that I've been a leader in the House. And when it comes to opioid addiction, when it comes to infrastructure, something that our governor, Governor Parson, also is leading on. There are a number of things that we could come together to work on, but, you know, I feel us slipping now into subpoenaville and investigations and tax returns and Russia and a socialist agenda that, quite frankly, is everything from health care for none, which is what I call Medicare for All program, the New Green Deal, you know, not just a third trimester abortion, which is abhorrent, but outright infanticide. I mean, the agenda has moved so far left that it is, that's what I see them pursuing at this point in time, sadly.
And I know you probably don't agree with him on anything, but I have to ask you, what in the heck is wrong with your colleague, Adam Schiff? I mean, everybody in the world is telling him to move on, and there is no Russian collusion. Senator Mark Warner, who I know is no fan of the president, basically had to admit that last week. You've got Andrew McCabe going on 60 Minutes basically admitting to the fact that he was committing sedition against a sitting president. I mean, can we move on from the Russian collusion hoax? I mean, what is the deal?
He will not let it go, and he is going to continue in this vein. You know, I serve on the Financial Services Committee, and Maxine Waters is my new chairman of the Financial Services Committee, and she's opening up investigations on Deutsche Bank, on tax returns, you name it. It's coming to a hearing room near you, I hear. I really would hope that we could govern, that we could talk about some of the needs in terms of real immigration reform, even outside and beyond securing our border. I would wish and hope that we could talk about infrastructure needs in this this country, about our workforce development needs. We have got an economy that is probably at the highest performing levels in 50 years. And there are a lot of things that we could do to build upon that. And I'd like for us to be able to work together. But honestly, Tony, to your question, I don't see it.
Yeah. And what do you think the president's going to, once we get past all the drama of the national emergency, and that's going to go to the courts, and then people will forget about it for a while, and it'll make its way through the courts. So, and what do you think President Trump is going to try to, probably like pushing a boulder uphill backwards, but what do you think he's going to try to move to next to continue to deliver for the country?
Well, I'm obviously working on a suburban agenda. We lost a number of seats in our suburban arena, workforce needs, education needs, things that give families more flex time and ability to balance their home and work lives. I'm hoping we're going to move to some of those kinds of issues and put an agenda together to move forward. There are healthcare issues that still must be dealt with. We want to make sure we're taking care of people with pre-existing conditions. We want to make sure that that we keep, you know, 77% of my constituents here in the 2nd District have private employer-based healthcare. Many are also receiving their health care from the VA, from Medicare, and this so-called Medicare for All is complete socialism and means health care for none. I think there are some private sector things dealing with costs that we could really be tackling together, but I'm really not feeling the love or the willingness from the other side.
And
so I think the president will push those things forward. We'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of Congresswoman Ann Wagner here, Ann, we got about 2 minutes left, and you mentioned suburban districts. So critical if we're going to take back the House in 2 years in 2020. I'm so glad you're at the tip of the spear on that. And it is very possible to win back these suburban districts, these congressional districts, with the right message, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and the key is to do it here in a year when the president is at the top of the ticket and is leading on these issues. So we're working on an agenda that I believe the White House is going to support in a very large way, and I'm going to be there with them. I had Ivanka Trump in my office last Friday talking about some real conservative avenues to help families balance it all, and we're going to be putting those bills and those pieces of legislation forward and running on that, along with so many other things that we need to be sure that we yank this the Democrat left progressive socialism back to this center right country that we are.
Unreal. And how can folks follow you and all the things that you're working on and everything you're engaged in? What's the best way for them to keep track of you?
AnnWagner.com. Head there. It's all posted on Facebook. That's our Twitter handle. It's good to be back in the district this week. I will say that, breathing the air of the congressional district. So
I bet it is.
This is our first full week back working in the district since we were sworn in. So it's good to be home.
Well, congratulations and thanks. I know you're working very hard for us every single day. Good luck with your afternoon agenda, and we'll look for you out there on the road.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for calling in, Ann. Good to talk to you. Absolutely. That's Congresswoman Ann Wagner. Little additional add-in for today, and that's some great stuff that she's working on, some great points she makes about where we are with this agenda. And Tony,
a great look into
inside
what's happening there in Washington.
Maxine Waters is running the Financial Services Committee.
I wanted to ask
good
the Congresswoman.
Grief.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the Congresswoman, when she sits in these meetings, in these committee meetings, if the Republicans are even allowed to talk, if they're even... Like she says something
circus.
The chairwoman Waters and they just like be quiet. We're doing our own thing.
Yeah, what a great way to move the economy forward. Investigate everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what that. I mean, I believe in oversight, but for the love of God, the reason this economy took off 2 years ago was because Donald Trump lifted so many onerous regulations that Obama put in place, and he followed it up with a tax cut. Hey, now your phone calls after this top of the hour break. Keep it right here. We'll be back right after these quick words. It's Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. It's the Annie Fry Show here at FM News Talk 97.1. Be back right after these words.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, it's not just that I think he's wrong. Mark Warner, the vice chair of the Intel Committee in the Senate, also disagrees with that assessment. But look, you can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion. Pretty compelling evidence. Now, there's a difference between seeing evidence of collusion and being able to prove a criminal conspiracy beyond a reasonable doubt. But, Chairman Burr must have a different word for it, because when you look, for example, at the emails to set up the meeting in Trump Tower, it was offered to the Trump campaign, to the president's own son, dirt on Hillary Clinton as part of what was described as the Russian government's effort to help Donald Trump in the campaign. And the response from the campaign was, we would love to have the help. Now, that's an offer of help. That's an acceptance of help. There's an overt act in the Trump Tower in furtherance of that. And, of course, that's not even contemplating the discussions with George Papadopoulos or the information about the efforts that Mike Flynn made to work with the Russian ambassador secretly to undermine sanctions and then lie about that. All of this is evidence of collusion. And you either have to look the other way to say it isn't, or you have to have a different word for it, because it is a corrupt dealing with a foreign adversary during a campaign. But again, it will be up to Mueller to determine whether that amounts to criminal conspiracy.
Just shut up and step up.
That's what I say to Adam. This is that. That's what happens when you have Schiff for brains, you know? Very careful when I say that.
Yes, very careful.
That word salad, he. I'm sorry to put you through that long of a clip, but it shows that Adam Schiff, he's only doing... First of all, I hear when I talk to people like... when I talk to some of the congressional folks I know, they say he's just an annoying person. Mm-hmm. You know, he's god awful arrogant. He's egotistical. He's upset that he's not a U.S. senator, that Kamala Harris beat him there. You know, he hasn't endorsed Kamala Harris. He's the only California based person who has not. Right. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Everybody else in D.C. who's been investigating this, except for Mueller, has decided there is no collusion. And he just told you right there. He actually said, he kind of admitted how ignorant he's being when he said, well, yeah, it's collusion, but it's a big leap. He basically said, it's a big leap to go from collusion to proving beyond a reasonable doubt a criminal conspiracy to commit electoral fraud. And so what's he doing this for? Politics.
That's it.
Right? It's all politics. And I love how he says it's right there in plain sight, but then he fails to state what is in plain sight, other than that the Trump campaign was trying to get campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton. Duh, that's called opposition research. And the Clintons they did that and more, yeah. Right, Tony? They did that and more.
Right.
They sold our Uranium One to the Russians.
And that's an extra special level.
Different level.
But every campaign, everywhere, all the way down to dog catcher, does opposition research.
This is such a convenient...
It's just a thing. It's part of
pinata.
Politics.
Yeah, it's such a convenient pinata to keep trucking out Putin and saying that Trump and he are best friends. I wish I'd had time to get to this with Congresswoman Wagner or Congressman Lueckmeyer, because I saw a great interview last night. Do you ever watch the... Life, Liberty, and Levin, the Mark Levin show, mm-hmm. the long-form interview show, which I think is fantastic.
Yes. I have some issues with Mark Levin, but I am a huge fan of long-form interviews.
His radio show, I admit, is, sometimes when he goes from 0 to 1,000 in 2 seconds and he's yelling.
It can just be jarring.
Yeah. But the TV show
but
is
I
the
love
opposite.
That. Yes, and I love
it's fantastic.
That
and he's had cool people. He's had Gary Sinise on. Mm-hmm. He's had lots of fascinating people.
I love those long form interviews. That's why I prefer listening to the radio than watching television.
Sure.
Because we are obviously very limited on time, but I'd rather hear a 10 or 15 minute interview than turn on the television and see a 4 minute interview.
That's the beauty of the DGS think tank.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and Dave, I think that's why it's so popular, because it's that long form. I love that.
And Dave, a lot like Dave's got a lot of that Levin style where he asks a question and then he lets the guest talk.
Yep.
You know, and last night, General Jack Keane was on Levin.
Mm-hmm.
And General Jack Keane is roundly praised by people on all sides of the political aisle. He's a pretty straight shooter, you know.
Apolitical,
yeah. Colin Powell style general. Now, Colin Powell's gotten political after he's been in office, but while he was in office, I don't think people really knew where Colin Powell was on just about anything. He did his job.
Mm-hmm.
General Jack Keane is a general's general. And General Jack Keane said something that would make liberal media heads explode, because it's the absolute truth. He said, Levin asked him, hasn't President Trump been tougher on the Russians than Obama ever was? And Keane said, absolutely, beyond a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, President Trump has been vicious on the Russians. Barack Obama was the one that leaned over to, I don't know if it was Medvedev.
Medvedev.
And said, hey,
tell Vladimir.
Tell Vlad I'll be a lot more flexible after the election. Meanwhile, Trump has put more sanctions on the Russians than Obama ever did. We are watching them like a hawk. We backed out of the nuclear weapons treaty because Russia was violating it so much, it became a useless piece of paper. You notice how that story didn't get any traction? Because that would fly in the face of the media narrative that Trump is soft on the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
He literally said to Putin, screw you and what you're doing on this treaty. I'm backing out. I'm not following this anymore because we're the only ones following it, which basically allowed us to be tougher on the Russians. We are watching them like a hawk through NATO. We are very tough on them in Crimea and in the Baltic states. It's an absolute fraud fallacy that Donald Trump is in bed with the Russians on anything. Now, Trump has this habit. He plays to these people. And these are tough actors, right? These are brutal thug dictators. But he's like, I think Trump plays them, though, because he wants to... It's smart. Hey, my buddy.
I was just
my buddy
say
Putin,
that.
My buddy Kim Jong Un, because that makes them feel all important.
He goes out and he goes on the media. He goes out in front of the media and he says things like Vladimir Putin is a strong leader for his people, and I like him. I like sitting with him. And he said it about Kim Jong Un, one of the most evil people in the world.
Yep.
He'll say, I like Chairman Kim. I like to be in the room and talking with him. We get along. And that does not mean, like you just mentioned, look at his actions. Look at the actions taken. Just because he'll go out in front of a camera and, like you said, for political reasons, I believe, say things like, he's a strong leader and I like him. I like to talk. I like to sit and talk with him because I feel like we can get things done. That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That means nothing.
The media takes everything Trump
says. Actions that he's done.
The media takes everything Trump says so literally.
Yeah.
They have no sense of humor. They have no sense of nuance. They have no sense of, I see what he's doing
and
there.
And of course, when he goes on television in the American media and he says, I like Chairman Kim, then that makes a guy like Kim Jong-un go, oh, look, I can play this in my country.
Exactly.
But it opens a dialogue. That's something that simple.
Yes.
At least gets them in the room together, and unless his actions start to show,
exactly,
then
if the media had to admit that Trump had this many complex layers to him, which he does when he deals with these people, they'd have to admit he was smart.
Yeah,
and they don't want to
do that all the time. They, on one hand, they treat him like he's this mastermind of this incredible network of collusion and
Russian
working
spies
in the,
like
he's the mastermind behind all of this.
The grand
chess
master.
And then on the other hand, they call him too stupid to even make a decision, and he relies solely on Jared Kushner and people in his staff to make all his decisions, and he's not even smart enough to tweet. So which is it? Is he this grand mastermind that has put together this backdoor evil conglomerate of connections, or is he the big dope that can't do anything? You can't report him as
and
both.
Haven't you noticed around the world that all these crazy strongmen have really dialed back their little excursions around the world and invading other countries?
Big time.
If you don't think that the mullahs in Iran are scared to death of Donald Trump because they know he will send in the missiles.
Yeah.
Because he already did into Syria.
You know what they're all doing?
They're waiting him out.
They're waiting him out. They're waiting for a Democrat.
That's exactly right.
You hit it on the head.
Because they knew they could take advantage of Obama.
Because they know that they're there forever, and they know that we change leaders as much as every 4 years. So, hey, they're all sitting there saying, this is not the guy. This is not the guy to mess with. Let's wait till 2020, see what's happening. If a Democrat gets in, then we can maybe start to bully the world again. And that's all they're doing. And even if they have to wait 4 years after that, they'll do it. But while he's there, they're not willing to take that extra step.
Nobody's crossing any Donald Trump red lines, are they?
No. No.
Because they're scared, because they believe that he'll fire off the missiles.
Because he's proved it.
And he's already done it in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so if you notice, the North Koreans have really dialed back mm-hmm. not only their rhetoric, but their actions.
Yeah.
When President Trump got into office, we were seriously concerned about Guam being attacked by
the
North Koreans.
Even if you don't believe, and I have my own trouble believing anything that comes out of North Korea, even if you don't believe that they are serious at all
about
denuclearization, about stopping their programs, that's fine. I'm not sure that they're doing any of that either. But I do know they're not firing missiles over Japan anymore.
They've stopped doing that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I do know that they aren't taking the provocation that they were taking before he was in office. So at least something has stopped.
Yep.
At least some measure of their being a bully has stopped since Trump got in office.
The ISIS caliphate has been crushed. North Korea has not taken any aggressive actions since Trump basically said to them, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Putin is not launching any additional excursions into the Crimea or Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking really tough in Venezuela, and I think we're on the right side yep. on that as well.
He's taking on China, and that's another one.
Taking on China that nobody ever did.
He always says, you know, him and President Xi are good friends, and they like each other, and then that makes people go, oh, that means that China's just going to walk all over. Not the case at all. He's the only one taking them on.
Yeah, I guess if walking all over you is reducing your auto tariff from 40% to 15%, right, we'll take that every day of the week, right? Because that's what Donald Trump did by standing up for trade deals. Every other president, Republicans and Democrats, I'll criticize them both equally. They've talked tough on trade and done nothing in action. Donald Trump is an action president. And the fact that he's fulfilling his campaign promises is what is driving the left mad, whether it's on this emergency declaration for the national border crisis or trade and everything in between. Hey, we'll get back to we'll try to get back to your phone calls, and we've got Carl Bearden up next. We're going to talk a little shift gears, talk a little Missouri legislature. Carl's got a brand new poll on initiative citizen-led petitions and the redistricting poison pill that was in the Clean Missouri Amendment. The Missouri legislature is going to take some action on that. We'll tell you what that is when we come back here on the Annie Fry Show at FM News Talk 97.1.
We've had recently is around what happens to private insurance. Should ending private insurance as we know it be a Democratic Party goal? And do you think it's an urgent goal?
Oh, yeah. It is a goal and an urgent goal, but let me explain. I ran on Medicare for All in 2006 in my upstate New York 2-to-1 Republican district. And the reason I ran on that message was because I listened first. I traveled around the district, asked people what's on your mind, what's your worry. Overwhelmingly, they said, I'm worried about access to health care.
The tippy tops on your 10 millionth dollar.
What did she just say?
The first quote was Kristen Gillibrand saying how great it would be to take away all of our health insurance. And the second one was
AOC, everybody.
The tippy tops on your 10 millionth dollar.
The 10 millionth gazillionth dollar.
Oh, God.
You know, if you taxed Ocasio's version of the wealthy, if you taxed her version of the wealthy at the 100% bracket, you took all their money away, that would run the federal government for about 8 months. Then what are you going to do?
Yeah, then what happens mm-hmm. after that?
She doesn't mean only tax the wealthy because there's not enough of them. It's concentrated. There is some concentrated wealth there, but when you consider it against a good to trillion dollar, I try to combine gazillion and trillion, federal budget, it runs out. And so where do you get the rest of the money? From most of America, which is the middle class. That's where you get the rest of it because there's hundreds of millions of us in the middle class. And so that's where it's like paying dues to a health club or something. You know, I mean, you don't ask for somebody to give $5,000 up front for a health club membership. You say, oh, just $10 a month.
Mm-hmm. Monthly payment.
And then increasing that. Now $20. Now there. Well, at some point, it becomes a burden. And the Democrats' idea is we need a permanent voting class to keep us in power. And so that's going to be these group of people. And we're going to take the money to keep those people in power from this group of people. We're going to take it from these group of people. We're going to give it to these group of people. And so our campaigns every 2 to 4 years will simply be, we're going to give you more free stuff, so just keep voting us into office. Instead of, how about growing the whole pie? That's the Republican message. So, well, hey, I promised we'd shift gears and talk a little Missouri legislature. And so to help me out with that is none other than my very good friend, longtime mentor, Carl Bearden. He was the House Budget Chairman back in his day and the Speaker Pro Tem. He is now the president of a great grassroots group called United for Missouri, at United for Mo on Twitter. Carl joins us on the Annie Fry Show. Hey, Carl, happy President's Day.
Hey, Tim, happy President's Day. And, you know, that other stuff is like a timeshare maintenance fee. They never go away.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You got to get a really good lawyer to get out of it, right? So,
exactly.
So, Carl, you've been following the Missouri legislature, and I'll ask you about some of the things you're going to work on. But I want to talk about first this poll that I think you just released today. And folks, you can find out everything that Carl's got going on through United for Missouri, unitedformissouri.org. or at United for Mo on Twitter. So, Carl, you did a statewide poll of 1,000 sample size, which is very significant for a statewide poll. It reduces your margin of error to a pretty low number. And you asked two big important questions about something that the legislature is considering this year. So give us the first one. What was the first question on your poll that you asked?
Okay, the first question we asked was if you knew the legislature was going to take your right away from accessing the initiative petition process, would you support that? And 63.8% of the people said no. You know, the initiative petition process is there to give us a way to redress our grievances with government. And everybody should be aware of that, although I've seen some polling where people may not be. It's not an exercise of direct democracy. It's how we address our grievances. So very important, and people don't agree with that being changed in any way that essentially takes it away from them, which is what most of the proposals in the legislature does today, is it raises the bar so high that average Missouri citizen would not have access to the initiative petition process. But if you got money, hey, go for it.
And Carl, the citizen-led initiative petition process is currently in and has been in the Missouri Constitution for a very long time, right?
Right. There's no one alive today that I'm aware of that has been around when it wasn't in our Constitution. It wasn't in the 1821 Constitution, but it has been there since about 1875. It was really strengthened in the mid-1900s, and we've had since 1910 was where we've really seen a lot of the use of it. 239 constitutional issues were proposed by the legislature. The people thought that about 51% of those were good ideas, and they approved them. Only about 100 have actually made it on by the initiative petition process, where citizens have gone out and gathered signatures, and people only voted about 40% of those in. So it's a pretty good spread, and it works as it was intended to.
And Carl, it's somewhat of a check on on the rest of our government, right?
Right. You know, and if you look at the complaints that we're currently hearing today as to why we need to remove this from out of reach, and actually, if you're going to do that, just be honest with the people, put it on the ballot and say no more initiative petitions.
Right, Carl, no legislator has filed yet a proposal to be honest and just say, look, I don't like the initiative petition process, so I'm going to remove it from the Constitution.
That is correct. So if you're going to do that, do it. Let the people decide on that, but no one will, because they know that people won't do that. So you know, it's been a process that most people, you know, there've been a few bad ones passed, right?
And yeah. So, Carl, what do you say to people like, oh my goodness, the initiative petition process is so bad. It gave us clean Missouri, and it gave us minimum wage hikes, and it gave us this, and it gave us that. Oh, throw up our hands and let's just change the rules now. Well, what do you say to folks who say that we just need to do that?
Well, what I'm saying to them, particularly if the legislators, is, hey, it was your fault. You know, Clean Missouri would not have passed had it not been for the deceptive measure of ethics reform, right? The only commercial that anyone I've ever talked to across state saw was a legislator inside a box grabbing cash that was floating around in the air. And that's all people thought they were voting on. But they didn't know they were voting on giving an unelected bureaucrat the ability to draw their Senate and state rep lines and do that without regard to their community of interest. In other words, being able to be in the same representative district or Senate district where people think like you do and want the same things you do. So we know that in this poll, the second question we asked, 72.4% of the people believe bipartisan commission should draw that and not an unelected bureaucrat.
So Carl, before we leave the initial petition question, so again, how many people are opposed to limiting the citizen initiative petition process?
63.8% say if you make it harder for me to do it, it's wrong.
So on the other hand, Carl, we did have a citizen-led initiative petition pass. It was Clean Missouri's Amendment 1. As you mentioned, it had all sorts of very fuzzy, cuddly, cozy, right, good-sounding ethics reform in it, revolving door, lobbyist gifts, so on and so forth. Buried deep within that very expansive, multi-topical proposition, though, was a redistricting provision. And Carl, I challenge anybody who says, that's what I went to the polls to vote on. I wanted to change our bipartisan, extremely fair redistricting process for our state legislative seats, and I want to give all that power to the state auditor who's going to hire a demographer who's going to draw all 1,997 districts on their own. I challenge anybody who says they voted on that.
The three-sentence description on my ballot was almost impossible to disagree with. So if you don't know what it is and you're just reading what's on your ballot, like, well, yeah, this sounds great.
So, Carl, I believe that some people voted for that, but I would challenge. If that was the only, if the only question put to the people was, let's change our current bipartisan map drawing system to this system where we make this a hyper-partisan thing where we're going to give it all to the state auditor, who's going to give it all to one state demographer, whoever that may be, whoever they pick, I'll bet you, Carl, that would not have passed.
No, it wouldn't have. And I've traveled the state extensively. You know, we have over 80,000 members statewide, so I get to see a lot of people. And there are very, 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 very few people who actually knew that was in there. And they say, and the ones who do say, it takes the politics right out. It takes partisanship out of it. But all it does is make it worse. I mean, there are people who believe that today's districts are gerrymandered. But if they think these are gerrymandered, wait.
Just wait.
New ones, man. Steroids.
Yeah. So, Carl, you polled that question. You said what Clean Missouri did not do was poll that question. They ran an initiative petition almost entirely, if not entirely, on ethics reform. They barely mentioned, if at all, redistricting. So you asked the citizens of this state that redistricting question. And what was your result?
Our result was, when citizens were asked, would you prefer a bipartisan independent commission drawing legislative districts or an unelected bureaucrat known as a state demographer, 72.4% of the people said a bipartisan commission.
Wow. There you go, Tony Colombo. More people approve of that than voted for Clean Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny part. Since we've been talking about this, the proponents say, no, we all knew what we were voting on, and then you're trying to overturn the vote of the people. And they evidently don't understand the system, because when people, if this is to be overturned, it will be the people doing it.
So, Carl, what is the legislature going to do about this conundrum? Are there any proposals? Are there going to be any proposals? What are you hearing up at the Capitol?
Well, we talked with a lot of legislators last week and gave them an advanced look at the poll, and there will be a version or two of fixing this come out within the next week or two. And it ought to go on the ballot, and people ought to actually say, hey, this is not what we wanted. We want something that's a bipartisan commission, and put that on the ballot and let people vote on it. So I think in the next couple of weeks you'll see versions of this. We have to be careful, you know, because as you know, Tim, there are people that don't like term limits that are in the legislature. They want to stay another 16 years, and they're going to try to pump all that stuff on there. We'll have to fight all that off. But I think if they keep it clean and let people know exactly what they're doing for, don't pull a Clean Missouri on it. they will in fact correct what Clean Missouri deceived them into doing this past November.
Fascinating. We're talking to Carl Bearden. He's with United for Missouri at United for Mo on Twitter, also unitedformissouri.org. Carl, before I let you go, you're up in the Capitol every week. You're in the hallways. What are you hearing is next up for our Missouri legislature? What are they working on this week and in the weeks leading up to their spring break?
Well, I think that you'll see a lot of attention start to focus on the governor's proposal for fast-track workforce reform, you know, where we start getting more people into the workforce. Rather than sending everybody to college, you know, we try to train people for jobs and be vocational where they should be. So I think you'll see that that going on. I think you'll start seeing the discussion more of the governor's highway bonding proposal. I'm not sure that will be as readily accepted, perhaps, as the workforce reform. And then I think you'll see some education reform talked about. You know, the House is moving out on the ESAs and charter schools. And so I think the House is the place to watch for education reform. And then it'll be the tough role to be in the Senate.
Hey, Carl, kudos to Speaker Elijah Haar, who dared to take on the election, the education establishment. That hasn't been done since I was Speaker. The media lit their hair on fire when I put a bunch of reformers on the Education Committee. I was glad. I was ecstatic to see Speaker Haar do that. And he put Rebecca Raber as the chairwoman. She's doing a fantastic job, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's I don't know that you could have picked a better person, because she's not just one-sided. She understands. She's a retired teacher, so she knows that change is needed. A lot of former educators don't want to change the system, because the system works well for the adults. It doesn't work well for the kids in the system.
Yeah, exactly right. So I had one other thing I was going to run past. The Carl, the conservative caucus. There's a new conservative caucus in the U.S. Senate, we hope there's one in the U.S. Senate. We definitely know there's one in the state Senate. A lot of our friends that you and I have supported over the years, in full disclosure, we supported a lot of these people through our various political action committees and also volunteer volunteer pro bono hours and so on and so forth. Right. But tell us about that, and what kind of effect are they having on the dialogue in the state Senate?
So there are six members so far, the conservative caucus being led by Senator Bill Eigel, Senator Bob Onder's part of that, Senator Denny Hoskins from the western part of the state, Senator Andrew Koenig from the St. Louis area, Senator Eric Burleson from the Springfield area, Cindy O'Loughlin, new senator, freshman senator from MIDMO, they've already made their mark. Last week, over the past couple of years, tax credits, particularly low-income housing tax credits, have been a big issue. They've been on again, off again. Last week, there was a bill presented. They, being the conservative caucus, filibustered that bill until they were able to make somewhat changes that they believe made it better and made it more acceptable to get those done, and then they moved on. They have a purpose. They know what that purpose is. They're not there just to talk, and they get things done, and I think that was a great indication of things to come.
Fantastic. Carl, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Great information.
Thanks for having
us. We're definitely going to want to have you back on to kind of get an update on these major pieces of legislation as they move through the session.
Be glad to do it, just to hold their feet to the fire.
Ah, thank you, Carl. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Carl Bearden, United from Missouri. Great stuff. Great update on what's going on in the Missouri legislature. Wow, we have sped through another session of the Annie Frye Show. We've got one chock-full segment left. I'll take your phone calls. Joanne and Dennis, sorry for having you hang on for so long, but we were full up on guests today and lots of material to cover, but I'll get to your phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. It's Tim Jones in for Annie Frye and the Annie Frye Show at FM News Talk 971.
You're listening to the Annie Frye Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Frye Show. Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling. Weather with Dave Murray.
Partly to mostly cloudy skies, 35 for the high. Tonight, clouds control. It's cold, but nothing out of the ordinary, 25 for the low. On Tuesday, some sun around in the morning. Otherwise, cloudy day again, 39 for the high. Tuesday night, we've got some snow kicking in here with some freezing rain and eventually some rain. And then gets out of the picture first thing Wednesday morning. This is FM News Talk 97.1, Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray.
Boy, you know about my friend Thomas Helbig at the Retirement Advisory Group. When we had the seminar a few weeks ago or so, I told you about it. You guys showed up in droves. And you listen to us, you listen to Mark Close and Mark Cox talk about him, and then you listen to Thomas Helbig, and you all signed up with him because you can trust him. You can trust Thomas Helbig to make sure that you can afford your retirement. You've been putting income into your retirement for a long time, and you want to make sure that once retirement gets there, or if you just got into retirement, that it's going to last. That what you've planned out for yourself is going to continue to be the case. And that's where Thomas Helbig comes in. He'll give you a no-cost, no-obligation retirement review and help you build your own personalized structured income plan that will show you exactly the type of retirement that you can count on. That's peace of mind, and Thomas Helbig is there to provide it for you. For coming in, you'll get a copy of his best-selling book, The Boomer's Guide to a Worry-Free Retirement. Call 314-626-9494. That's 314-626-9494. Or visit him online at retirementkey.com.
So this is your very first day on a 1-800-GOT-JUNK truck team.
I'm really excited.
Of course you are. This is a great job.
So tell me what you've learned.
Always make things easy for the customer.
And what do we tell people?
All you have to do is point.
And whatever you're pointing at will disappear.
We're just some cheerful guys who make your life happier.
And isn't that what you want?
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. Credit card companies spend millions of dollars a year to keep you further in debt. All these gimmicks like 0% transfer, 10% off today's purchase are nothing more than traps to keep you further in debt. What if I told you the solution to all your problems was only 5 minutes away? Your home has gained equity at the fastest pace in over a decade. Put that new equity to work and pay off all your credit cards today with a cash-out refinance. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
It either is or it isn't. When it comes down to it, that's all that really matters when choosing a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. It's either certified by Mercedes-Benz factory-trained technicians or it isn't. It's either backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years or it isn't. It's absolute confidence in 30,000 precision parts, or it isn't. the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event. Now through February 28th, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Come in today and we'll help cover your first month's payment. Offer available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. There are those who settle for nothing less. For them, the choice is simple. It's either up to Mercedes-Benz standards or it isn't. It's flawlessly maintained or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit towards your first month's payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
Hey guys, Dave here with my friend Kel Brazil. I have known Kel for years. She's a very good friend. I trust her completely. And she is now life coaching. Kel, what is life coaching?
Well, life coaching is someone that helps you clarify your goals and develop a strategy to complete those goals in the shortest amount of time possible. Whether it's health and wellness, career, business, relationships, basically just overall strategy.
So as I understand it, it's a bit like therapy, but it's not so much going back to your childhood trauma or potty training. It's about focusing on what your issues are today and helping people solve those issues.
That's exactly right. A trained life coach is trained to find your blind spots and help you develop a strategy to work around those.
So shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen to their problems, an objective, compassionate voice to help guide them.
100%.
And you do a free consultation?
I do.
To find Kel, go to kelbrazil.com or call 314-565-3335.
The target of progressivism is individualism.
Mark Levin.
The purpose of the great progressive change is to control you, is to smother you. This is what your media believe in.
Weeknights, 9 to midnight.
On FM News Talk.
97.1.
The only way you can take FM News Talk 97.1 with you is the radio.com app, available on your smartphone in the App Store. Take us with you and never miss the news and opinion from 97.1.
I can still shut down the party.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I can hang with anybody.
Talk lines are open now at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
Scotch on the rocks and I'm fine, I'm fine. But when I taste tequila, baby, I still see you. Cutting up the floor in a sorority t-shirt, the same one you wore when we were sky high in Colorado.
About the wall? You know, I think it's a moral abomination. I think it's like the Berlin Wall.
I am not the expert on geopolitics.
Every time she talks, I just want to giggle. Because she's giggling most of the time. Isn't that cute?
Berlin Wall.
The wall's a moral abomination. Hee hee hee. You know?
I wonder if she knows anything about the Berlin Wall.
Does she understand? Well, if she hates the Berlin Wall, then she shouldn't be a socialist, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
good point.
And I'm sorry. Socialism, communism, Marxism, it's all the fruit from the same poisonous tree.
I don't think I would have ever expected to see when a State of the Union was going on and the president said, we will never have socialism ever. And to have a portion of people not stand up.
It's shocking, isn't it?
Senators.
Yes. Like U.S. senators.
United States senators.
Like, nope.
And Congress people.
I don't think I'd ever, it's unbelievable. Did not think I'd see that.
Let me get to see if I can get some of these folks on before we're about out of time. Dennis, good afternoon. Welcome to the Tim, Tim Jones Show was last night. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show.
It's Nick's.
Yeah. Dennis, go right ahead. Dennis? I left Dennis on hold for a long time.
Dennis,
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go. Hey, Dennis, I'm really sorry. I know I had you on hold for a while, but call back if you can. I got a couple minutes left. Joanne, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. You're on the air.
I haven't been on the phone too long, but I got my whole house cleaned. You people are ridiculous. If I didn't have important things to tell you, I would have hung up.
Joanne, I'm sorry, Joanne. We had a full show today, but now it's all your...
I know you did, and you also have a lot of talking to do.
You go right ahead.
Okay, first of all, I used to be an alder person in North St. Louis, and I just want to tell you the things that are to go together with what would help. We had a total block of 23.
Okay.
It cost for the police department $100,000. And you wouldn't need judges, you wouldn't need clerks for City Hall, and you wouldn't need a police department. You have your other one. You wouldn't need a lawyer. And I know when I was in politics, I lived near Jennings, and we didn't have anything that would help us, give us money to help support our city, you know, like grocery stores and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Where Jennings had a lot. So he's going to go and build this huge police department, cost a fortune, instead of trying to go together and we all share.
So,
and like I told him then, he was no island.
So, Joanne, are you in favor of the Better Together proposal or opposed to it?
I'm in favor of it.
Okay, all right.
Then they can get all your garbage departments. You can get all. You don't need judges. You don't need clerks at City Hall. You don't need lawyers. You don't need none of that. One other question.
Yes.
How's Kansas City doing? They're like us, almost. I mean, they're all together, though,
yeah,
right?
They are. They are. They're doing. I think Kansas City's doing well. I think it's doing better than St. Louis, to be honest.
Exactly. And the only other question I have to ask you is, how much money did this cost the taxpayer for that stupid Russian thing that they're playing games with in the government?
Oh, Joanne, I think we're in the multi tens of millions of dollars at this point with Mueller. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, don't you think maybe that should be told to the people?
Well, if we had a real national media that wasn't so in the tank for the Democrats, we would. But we've got one outlet. It's Fox News, and that's about it. And then you've got conservative talk radio, so that's why we're here.
Yeah, I know. That's the reason I listen to
Well,
you.
Joanne, you're the best. Thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
you have
okay.
a great afternoon. Okay.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Whew, I wouldn't want to cross swords with Joanne.
Yeah. Yeah. If yeah. you just quit your yip-yapping, Tim.
I know.
Jeez.
Yeah.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah, that's what Joanne was telling me.
No kidding. Hilarious.
Well, I didn't know. Well, I got this big Megatron behind Tony here, so I always know what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we got lots of leather-bound
monitors.
Books and monitors. Mm-hmm. Lots of leather-bound monitors in our overly ostentatious studios here. And the president is in Miami today. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Bienvenido in Miami. I can do that. My wife would tell me I don't know any Spanish, but I know some because for 3 years in college, my roommate was one Jose Benitez from Puerto Rico. So
you learned a little
every
bit
every day. I would listen to Jose, not listen, but he was talking to his.
Every day I'd eavesdrop on Jose.
Jose would just get on the phone and start yammering, you know, to his love of his life that he ended up marrying.
Oh, wow.
His high school girlfriend, Vivian, mm-hmm. who he married. And I have been down to visit Jose and Vivian many times. They're wonderful people. Jose was a hoot. Man, it was so fun living with Jose. We had a pet iguana for a while.
Cool.
Named Simon.
All right. That is awesome.
And Jose and I, we were, I guess I was always fascinated by media and communication. Jose and I developed a comic strip that we ran in the, I'll bring it in sometime. It ran in our college newspaper. It was called The Ram. I went to Fordham. We were the Rams. So it ran. And you know what the name of it was? I always thought, Jose, man, we should have been the next Calvin and Hobbes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? It was called Sweet Agony, S-U-I-T-E. Sweet Agony, all about
Martin and Lewis,
college dorm life
duo, yeah.
at
cool.
Fordham. And Jose was an excellent illustrator. Jose drew the cartoons, and I wrote the scripts.
Very cool.
And they were, I went back and looked at them, and a lot of it was humor based on campus at that time.
Sure.
But some of it was a little timeless about how evil the administration was. And, and so one of the main characters was Simon the Iguana.
I love it.
So we made
that's fantastic.
So he was like Garfield, you know. So
yes.
we made Simon the Iguana the character in
that's
our
great.
Sweet Agony. Yeah, it's good. And we ran it. So we were kind of a big deal in mm-hmm. college. So our suite was pretty cool. We had one of our suite mates was the editor in chief of the paper, and then there was myself and my other buddy. We ran the emergency medical service on campus. I was an EMT at one point, mm-hmm. which is funny because my wife says I can't stand the sight of blood anymore, which maybe that has something to do with the fact that, well, anyway, it's a long story. and then we had Jose, and we had my buddy Jason. He ran the football team. He was like the head manager,
my
you know,
gosh.
Student manager. Yeah, we were kind of like, you know, the BMOCs,
a lot
you know,
of leaders so,
yeah.
in mm-hmm. that group.
And controlling the means of communication on campus was so huge because everybody knew where we stood on things, and we pushed back against this, that, and the other thing, and You know, it was fun. It was fun. So, but Sweet Agony was the comic relief.
You should totally bring that in.
Yeah, it
That's
was
very interesting.
It was entertaining. So let me get to Adrian real fast. Adrian, good afternoon. You're on the Annie Fry Show. We got about 2 minutes. Go right ahead.
Top of the day to you, folks.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. Washington Times, they just did an article. I'm looking at it. Says here roughly 80% of all voters say U.S. needs secure borders.
Yes.
Including 68% of Democrats.
Absolutely.
That was a Harvard poll.
Yep, I think the Democrats have really jumped the shark on this, Adrian, and they're gonna rue the day when the next election cycle comes around. Hey, Andrew, thanks for calling the show. I got to run. I've got some breaking news from Tony Klum before we wrap up.
Yeah, quick update on the Jussie Smollett story, which we talked about a lot on the show today. Al Sharpton is even backing away from Jussie Smollett.
Oh,
now
you know you're screwed.
Yes, he is saying that if it is found out that Smollett and these gentlemen did in some way perpetrate something that is not true, they ought to face accountability to the maximum.
Wow.
Mm.
So he was initially very much behind Jussie Smollett and, you know, his story and in defense of him. And now even Sharpton is backing away with the news that has come out today about that situation.
His career is over.
Yeah. I wonder if Don Lemon would agree
with
that.
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men.
Or maybe the biggest terror threat are people who make up things and say that they're victims when they should not. And like we were pointing out earlier, in all seriousness, this hurts real victims across the entire country. When you've got people like this, and this is very, this is bad. Well, interesting. So fascinating.
Yeah.
Any idea what's on the DGS today, Tony Klumbo?
It'll be a blast.
It'll be Monday. It'll be Monday on the
DGS.
It's
going to be a very special President's Day edition of the Dave Glover Show.
Very good. Very good. Pat, I'm sorry I can't get to you. I'm about to run up against the hard clock here. So give the DGS a call. They'd love to hear from you. Tim Jones in for Annie Friday. Annie will be back tomorrow. I will be back hosting the Mark Cox Morning Show on Wednesday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Get up nice and dark and early. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Tony. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Chad for running the phones today. Thank you to all of you for calling in. I always thank Mom and Dad. Without them, I wouldn't be here. And, of course, the three lovely ladies in my life, Suzanne, Katie, and Abby. See you ladies soon, too. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. We've got the DGS, the entire crew, up next here on FM News Talk 97.1. Have a great President's Day.
Get more at 971talk.com.